right, Ben. You were the one who needed to replace the Chainsaw Man episode that you hated so much with this one. So this one's on you.
Oh, you're not going to do the...
Words About Books is a poorly spoken podcast where once a month we discuss a specific book and then we kind of just fill time with literature-related topics. And so this week, Ben is digging up a concept we tried last year that failed, and he's going to try and breathe some life into it. I'm Nate. How are you going? How are you doing?
I'm actually not doing very well. This has been...
Is it the man bun?
No, my man bun is actually doing pretty well. No, this has just been one of the most like exhausting weeks of the year, and I had surgery this year. With Words About Books, we're trying, you know, we do the book club, but we'd like to do weekly episodes, and the book club doesn't always require a full month's worth of episodes. Not every book is Dune.
Or Lovecraft.
Well,
jackass.
Yeah. That was an author focus. But so, yeah, we've been experimenting with different sorts of episodes, and I was planning to talk about a manga called Chainsaw Man this week, but... We actually recorded an episode, and the more I looked at it, the more it just wasn't working. We're still really playing around with a way to cover graphic novels on the podcast, and we're really not sure if that's even something our audience is interested in. If anybody didn't know, I'll just go ahead and say it. This is being recorded, oh my god, was it 2 weeks after the election?
Oh, wow. Yeah, less than 2 weeks, because it'll be 2 weeks in like 3 days. It's like a week and a half.
Okay, so it's a week and a half after the election. If anyone follows my personal Twitter, you'll know I'm interested in politics, and so I've been following a lot of that quite closely. I've been in long discussions with numerous people about that stuff. And
like Donald Trump. You've been having some pretty long discussions with your friend Donald Trump.
I've been trying to, yeah. So on Twitter, on my personal account, I've been tweeting at Donald Trump, trying desperately to convince him to concede and go off and start Trump TV. And I've also been kind of like softball pitching a sitcom for Trump TV that would star Donald Trump as himself and me as Donald Trump's guardian angel, who he doesn't listen to very often. And then he gets into wacky hijinks, and then I have to help him get out of the wacky hijinks at the end. And it always kind of, you know, like a sitcom resets back to normal. And I've told people, like, think DuckTales plus Trump Tower, you know? Instead of, like, having the vault that he bathes in, he has a golden golf course. But he still plays in those old-timey bathers for some reason. Anyway, that's not what this is about.
And it's not about Chainsaw Man either. If you want to hear that, once we set up a Patreon account.
No, I think what I thought it would be interesting to do, since we kind of need to put something together quickly here, and I'm really tired. We're in the midst of work on the next set of book club episodes. So I thought it would just be a good time to sort of take stock of our year in reading. Because some of us read several things outside of the podcast, and I thought that might be interesting to talk about. But also, Mr. Nate, I'm interested in just talking more broadly about...
My hatred of books.
No, like the mindset you were in when you read certain books. So this is going to be largely inspired by the Goodreads, I forget what they call it. It's reading challenge. Yeah. So every year on Goodreads, you can create a reading challenge for yourself where you set the number of books you would like to read, and then you could track it throughout the year, and they'll keep track of it for you in a nice little table. You could share it with your friends. You could see how you're doing. I personally set a goal of 24 books. That'd be two a month. So our book club book plus one for me. And I'm actually at 25 books already. So I'm beating Nate by a lot. I just wanted to mention that. And one of the things I've noticed participating in these challenges year after year is by the time you get to like November, December, it's interesting to go back and look at how the year started and how the year progressed. So, Nate, I think you and I probably have the same first book read this year. And would you believe, would you imagine that this year we read Marked by Sarah Fine?
That feels like about 1,000 years ago. So at the beginning of this year, I actually went on a vacation out of state to Disney with my wife, and we met up with some friends. And then there's like this huge like blank space in my memory. I think we were trying to go to a war with Iran or something, and then like time to you're furloughed, buddy. Sorry. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I looked back at that and I remember reading Marked in January, finishing it, doing all the stuff about Sarah Fine, doing the about the author, doing the script, and it seems like 2 or 3 years ago. It seems like I remember so vividly reading that book, and just it feels like a totally different world I was in when I was reading that book.
Yeah, that was actually an alternate timeline. Something happened, and now we're in the bad timeline where COVID exists.
So, I read a couple other books. I'm just going to breeze through them a little bit. I read Slavery by Another Name. I do listen to audiobooks.
Ah, so
this
cheating.
This was an audiobook. And some people do consider it cheating or not really reading.
And I consider it cheating when you're competing against me. I think we need to throw those out.
Can you not listen to audiobooks?
We only count books that you read with your eyes, Ben.
Do you need an observer 6 feet away to make sure that
you know what? I think it should be 3 feet away. I think 6 feet's too far.
I listened to the audiobook of Slavery by Another Name by Douglas A. Blackman. This is a book about how even after slavery ended in the United States, many institutions were put into place to sort of keep things unequal and basically keep black people in a system of free labor, mostly by using the prisons. Very relevant, very interesting. And I listened to it at the same time we were reading Marked. So I would go on like long walks and listen to this and then come back and work on the script for Marked. So it was very, very different a headspace.
So Marked was better is what you're saying. Marked was an uplifting story of love and...
It was refreshing for sure. Did you listen to, did you read anything else in January?
Just we're not counting textbooks.
I'll count textbooks.
Oh God. So I read like a shitload of textbooks.
Do you actually
all year
like read textbooks cover to cover?
Well, one of them definitely. That was like 400 page textbook on psychopharmacology. And the rest you kind of go like just piecemeal, like you take a chapter here, chapter there, and you just kind of move on.
I also listened to The Poetic Edda, as translated by my favorite Old Norse specialist, Dr. Jackson Crawford, who, if you have not heard of Dr. Jackson Crawford, you need to go look up his YouTube channel of the same name. Have I ever made you watch any of his videos?
Doesn't sound familiar.
I'm going to be real with you. I have kind of a man crush on him.
I'm a little jealous now.
You should.
Thanks,
well,
thanks
you,
for doing that.
I'm,
yeah.
Dude. You don't even have a chance. This guy, he specializes in Old Norse. He knows a ton about Old Norse. I think he worked on Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Frozen and a bunch of other stuff. And he's like a cowboy. He speaks fluent Old Norse, like fluent Icelandic, fluent Finnish and all that stuff. And he, he's just like some cowboy who lives in Wyoming who pronounces what with an H.
What?
Let me tell you what Odin did. But yeah, if you're gonna check out any Viking stuff or Old Norse myths, I would definitely recommend Dr. Jackson Crawford.
But he lives in Wyoming.
Yeah, he does. And all his videos.
Populated state.
I think that's why he lives in Wyoming.
Okay, you know what? That's fair. That's fair. If that's your reason to do it, that's fair.
That's definitely a big part of his reason for doing it. He's an interesting guy. I recommend checking out his stuff. You know, I remember walking around. This was another audiobook I checked out. It's read by the author, so it's really good. I remember walking around listening to it, but I cannot place it in time at all. This must have been about the same time you were reading your textbooks, like February?
Huh. Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, and then I read, to keep my douche philosophy corner well stocked, I do sometimes read philosophy books, and I checked out Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, which, if you want to go nuts, I just read the Penguin Classics version. It was fine. It's very boring. If you're into Stoicism, like Stoicism and Buddhism kind of go hand in hand. And I, like last year was my year of Buddhist literature. And this year was going to be my year of Stoic literature until COVID hit and I wasn't feeling it anymore.
Yeah, I read a book about the plague like late last December.
Oh, dude, that was my next book was going to be my next book. So we're getting into late February, early March here, right? I read The End Is Always Near by Dan Carlin.
Oh,
about boy. How history is. That's a book about how history is like a cycle of civilizations rising and falling and all the various things that can make a civilization fall. And how technology can be lost and progress can move backwards and how unimaginable that is for us, but how likely it probably is to happen again. And then the next week.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. Would not probably recommend.
Wait a few years.
Yeah. I don't know if it packs the same punch anymore, because now it's all too easy to imagine.
Yeah, now it's just depressing. Like, oh, no.
Oh, and here's another one as I'm going through. I read Neuromancer by William Gibson. I think I mentioned that on another podcast. But
it's probably one we cut, yeah.
No, this is pure nostalgia. I'm not...
You're reminiscing about the beginning of the year, the good old days.
I'm talking about how you can... How you can view your year in books. And don't, like, it's getting like an arc. I can feel it developing here. Okay. So I read The End Is Always Near, right? And then I read Neuromancer by William Gibson. And this is particularly relevant to my mind space in the year, because you know how I came to read this book, Nate?
A gross amount of depression and being unable to see a psychiatrist because of COVID.
No, COVID hadn't started yet. I mean, it was... So, as I was reading Neuromancer, COVID was on the horizon. It was this mysterious...
It was a thing in China that people were like, it's not going to come over
and
here.
And I remember specifically asking a health professional friend of mine if I should be concerned about COVID, and he told me, oh, it's no more than a bad flu, and it's probably not going to be a big deal. Do you remember that? Do you remember me telling you about that idiot I talked to?
No, I don't think we ever had any conversation about that guy. Yeah. I also don't know who it is, and I deny ever being in the same room as him.
But, I actually do remember being vaguely aware of it, vaguely concerned about it as I was reading this, but it's important because this book was lent to me by a coworker. I used to see those, like, in the real life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he physically handed me a physical book.
What?
And neither of us was...
I don't know why I'm shocked. I see coworkers every day.
I don't. I think I have seen... I mean, more than just in passing, like to actually sit down and talk to, I have maybe seen 10 people.
Oh, wow.
In the last 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I see people at the store and stuff, but
I've got to tell you, I'm jealous. I wish I could just work from home.
Well, I could tell you, so this was definitely for sure the last physical book I ever I've shared with anyone. I won't say ever, hopefully. But
nope, this is life from now on.
Certainly seems to be life for the foreseeable future. So that brings me to...
Ben, I don't think you understand this, okay? A Democrat won the election, and now a vaccine's going to magically appear, and we're all just going to get better and COVID will go away.
I thought it was just going to go away on its own.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's what he said, right? Even better. Like, it'd be going away anytime now.
Well, maybe it's because he hasn't accepted Biden's victory. If he does that, the COVID will go away.
No, if he does,
someone needs to tell him. He needs to accept Biden's victory so the COVID will go away.
Nate, I couldn't have been more clear. I've been telling him.
Oh, God.
Because I want to make this show.
Maybe I should join it.
Yeah. No, you can get a producing credit on my sitcom on Trump TV.
Yeah, I definitely want in on that. That sounded awesome.
Yeah, no, it will be. You could be the wacky neighbor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we need to make this happen.
So, can you guess what my next book was, based on what time of the year this was?
Murder of Roger Ackroyd?
Yeah, Murder of Roger Ackroyd.
It was a good book. I was reading that while I was doing the COVID swab clinic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Every... Isn't it weird, though? Like, this is kind of what I was getting at, because every year when I look at... This year more than most, I suppose. But every year when I look at my, like, year-end books, it's like a scent that just takes your mind back to a very strong memory. It's like these books are just like burned into the atmosphere that I read them in. So yeah, that was the first book during COVID.
Yeah, that was a nice little treat. You're welcome, by the way.
No, that was actually
probably one of the best books I read all year.
Yeah,
honestly.
No,
it was great.
I agree. Like I said in the podcast, I'm not big on detective books, but in all sincerity, that opened my mind to a lot of new stuff that I wouldn't have read before. I really liked it. So doing a complete 180 from Agatha Christie, the next book I read was Blood
Fault
of...
in Our Stars.
No. Close.
Okay.
Blood of Elves by... Oh, God. I don't know if I'm going to be able to say his name. But Sapkowski. I don't know how to say his first name. It's the Witcher guy. It's the first Witcher book.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me that you read those books, but I honestly thought you told me that last year.
Right. Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I started reading the Witcher series. I haven't gotten very far in it. This was when Nate was toying around with doing books based on popular IPs. He was like, oh, would you like to do one of those for like the podcast, like some kind of video game book? And I had to inform Nate that the video game is actually based on the books in this case, and that the books came first.
Yeah, but It's like that one shitty cookie that came before the Oreo, but everyone just thinks of the Oreo.
So you're saying you're not a fan of the Witcher books?
I actually haven't read them. I'm just saying everyone thinks of the video game. And by everyone, I mean everyone. As in, I'm making a blanket statement that every human being on Earth who is aware of the Witcher.
That's actually one of the author's, like... pet peeves. It actually really pisses him off that the video game has exploded with popularity so much, because it pisses him off when people think he did a book based on a game. And so I think he's kind of like fought, because at first they were putting like on the cover stuff from the video game, and he hates that. He absolutely hates that. He also went back and forth with the game company with a couple of lawsuits, and I think he made a really bad deal when he sold the IP. He didn't think the game would do very well, so he didn't...
Fool!
He didn't ask for a lot of money.
You fool!
Yeah. Well, he didn't ask for, like, a percentage of the sales or something like that, and he wound up being able to renegotiate the contract with him. But yeah, he was actually making no money on those games for quite some time, or very little money. And I just wanted to see what it was all about. So obviously, it's if you don't know much about The Witcher, these books are translated from Polish, and they do. I've read two books now, and there were two different translators. And there is a little bit I can tell that was kind of lost in translation. They're funnier than you might imagine. If you're like, I got into it thinking it was going to be this dark fantasy, but it's actually kind of more of a family trauma. And the first 100 pages reminded me more of Full House, the sitcom, than anything else. So this would have been what? This was April.
April?
Yeah. So then I started reading a book called Paperbacks from Hell. And Paperbacks from Hell is kind of this mini encyclopedia of pulp paperbacks of horror from the 70s and 80s. And they're all, like, terrible. Some of them are about, like, Nazi leprechauns, and there's like, one that's about a giant Gila monster, and yeah, they're great. It's
like an anthology?
No, it's literally, these books all existed, and this person, his name's Grady Hendrix, he's also a writer of fiction. I haven't read any of his fiction, though, but he loves all these cheesy horror paperbacks. So he went out and he found some of, like, the best and collected them. And best is, like, very relative in this discussion. It means, like, if you're a fan of cheesy horror, this is like, oh, chef's kiss, awesome. Because they're all just super cheesy, super over the top. Not high art at all, though he does include stuff like The Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby, some of the ones you would have heard of. But he talks a little bit about horror publishing, the trends in the genre, how it sort of rose and then fell as the thriller took over and people started getting more into serial killers and crime fiction and police procedural stuff. It's really interesting to read. If you're into horror, if you're into pulp at all, I highly recommend it. I've actually, that's been another weird discovery I had this year, was that there's actually a lot of people out there that do pulp history, where they take all those little niche or cheesy or just not high art parts of pop culture, and they are studying them, chronicling them. There's a couple more books on this.
Ben. Here on Words About Books, we only study high art. So I'm going to need you to hurry this pulp garbage along, because we need to get back to our high art discussion.
Well, the pulp garbage is going to return at least two more times.
Is Sorcery on your list?
Sorcery is the next book on my list, but I'm not calling that pulp. But we can talk about Sorcery. So you actually read that one. So do you remember...
And I don't remember it at all.
Really?
It's overshadowed by Dune and H.P. Lovecraft.
So you read this. So for you, was this directly between Dune and H.P. Lovecraft?
No, Roger Ackroyd was also in there. And I have to consciously remember that I read this book and Ackroyd. But at least with Ackroyd, we discussed it for two episodes. Whereas Sorcery, we just kind of like blew through it.
It's also a much shorter book.
Yeah.
So you don't...
Ackroyd's a pretty short book, too.
Yeah. Between Sorcery and H.P. Lovecraft, I read four books.
Jesus Christ.
Are you familiar with The Last Podcast on the Left?
Yes, you showed them to me.
They made a book about some of the most well-known serial killers. It's an interesting book. It's illustrated... It's short, but a lot of work went into it, and it's very good. I want to say it's a very good encyclopedia of serial killers, but tinged with the kind of humor of Last Podcast on the Left. they do really thoroughly researched episodes, but they also manage to keep it kind of funny and light. And this book was an attempt to sort of take that podcast formula with the three hosts and put it into a book format. And it's kind of, it works. It's surprising how well it works, but it's, they use illustrations to kind of break it up. And they also have different, they have like, the main text is written by Marcus Parks, who does most of the research for the shows. And then occasionally there is different colored text coupled with an avatar of Henry Zebrowski and Ben Kissel, who are two co-hosts that provide more humor. They sort of provide, like, the only way I could describe it is if you've ever worked on like a Word document or a Google Doc with your colleagues and multiple people are editing it at the same time and making notes.
Yeah, we've never done
it. It's, they inject notes and commentary onto the story that's being told about these serial killers. And it does manage to lighten it up somewhat and provide interesting asides and commentary. And the illustrations are usually pretty funny. For the most part, it worked. And it was, I don't know that I've ever read another book like it. I would actually recommend this one. If you're into that sort of thing, it is kind of a niche audience, I guess. True crime humor. I don't know where you stand with that sort of thing, Nate.
I don't much care for true crime, but I do like The Last Podcast on the Left. They're very irritating.
So now I'm trying to remember. So this would have been, we're getting well into summer. Because I remember this
was...
Yeah,
I had a summer vacation this year that I didn't ask for or want, but I got anyway.
I listened to another audiobook. The 10-Cent Plague, The Great Comic Book Scare, and How It Changed America.
Oh, I thought this was actually going to be a story about plague, and I was going to say, I was going to ask if you did not have enough plague in your life.
No. I started listening to this book. I remember vividly listening to, I remember it was summer because I remember vividly listening to this book while getting back into shape for like long distance running. And then I wound up having surgery and wound up very much out of shape again. But this one, I would recommend for anybody who's a fan of comic books or ever was a fan of comic books. It's about the years immediately following like World War One into World War Two, when comic books became hugely popular, and then after a few years or decades became hugely censored and very much like hated. If you don't know anything about the Comics Code Authority and the book burning, like mass burnings of comic books and all that stuff, I would highly recommend this book. Even if you know a little bit about it, but not a ton, this was a really interesting book. He interviews, he has transcripts of actual comic book artists and authors talking about the experience of being these social pariahs just overnight and how they suddenly became blamed for the rise of, or the perceived rise of juvenile delinquency and all the horrors of the world. And how it was just inconceivable to people at the time that maybe the two massive landscape-changing wars could have had anything to do with a change in society. Nay, it must have been the comic books.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That checks out.
Yeah, well...
So, are you saying, Ben, if we just go ahead and take all the comic books and, like, burn them now, things are going to turn back to normal and, like, we're all going to be fine.
Yeah, that might work.
We're going to have, like, a booming, like, everything. Just like we did post-World War II and, like, pre-Vietnam. We're gonna be the greatest again.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Is, like, the moral of the story is, so comic books were heavily censored, and then you had rock music and movies just meet the demand for that sort of content.
God damn it. Now we have to get rid of movies and rock music, probably video games.
And they tried, yes. Oh, video games have... Don't worry. comic books, books, novels, none of these things will ever be under criticism again as long as there are video games.
Yes.
We are safe. But yeah, for me, as a big fan of horror comics, I find this period of time really interesting because there are a lot of companies that just went totally out of business. Like, most of the comics industry went totally out of business. And there were these... I'm familiar with this mostly through horror comics, though I'm sure it happened in detective comics and romance comics as well. You can't find those stories anymore. Like, they're kind of lost to time because the publishing houses went out of business. Nothing was digitized. This was the, you know, the 40s and 50s.
So if you come across one of these comic books, you're seen on a gold mine.
Potentially.
For collectors.
Because if you go out and you buy a copy of, or you buy some of the reconstructed trade paperbacks they've put out, like EC Comics has, you can buy collections of classic horror comics, but those are mostly reconstructed from donations from private collectors. Like, the private collectors have sent in their comic books to be scanned so that they can publish these things again. Because the publishers do not have any of the original prints. They don't have any of the original records. So there's a whole, like, writers and artists whose careers were just lost to time because of all this. It's actually something I feel pretty passionately about. Because not that they were, like, life-changing stories. We talked about this a little bit with Lovecraft. Like, it's pulpy. It's silly. But I like them. They're charming. And they've influenced so much. The idea that you can't even go to a library and find it anymore just to see how it all started, it's really sad.
Yeah, you can't even go to a library soon.
Yeah, I take it for granted so much now. And people have told me, you know, what happens when there's a solar flare that takes out all the electronic storage or...
Well, I'm gonna start by crying a lot. And then I guess we're fucked. We're fucked. Is that the correct answer here?
Well, going along with that, like, pretty much following up on the 10 Cent Plague, I read In the Mountains of Madness by W. Scott Poole, which is the book I based our Deep in the Crease H.P. Lovecraft on. I won't make you rehash that too much, but,
Good God.
You know, I have since actually acquired a new book on Lovecraft. I didn't know how to bring this up. I don't know if I can ever speak about it on the podcast because Nate will not participate. But as I was tweeting about our Lovecraft episode, I referenced an article from a blog. I forget which one off the top of my head, but the person who wrote that blog mentioned to me that I had said something about it being hard to get a copy of H.P. Lovecraft's wife's book, and somebody tweeted me to say that you can actually get a copy of it as part of this collection. And so I went out and I bought this random collection. Oh my God, I don't know how to say this. It's a collection of memoirs of Lovecraft, not by Lovecraft, of Lovecraft. So it's a collection of people publishing, like, obituaries, eulogies, memoriams, and Sonia Green's memoirs of him. It's called Ave Atque Vale. You could get it at Necronomicon Press, which is necropress.com. I don't know if we'll ever talk about it again on the podcast, because, like I said, Nate is scarred by Lovecraft.
Yeah, it was horrible.
So I don't know if we'll ever get back to it, but I'm... That's actually on my to-read list.
You know, I went back and I listened to every episode on the podcast. We mention Lovecraft a lot, even before we discussed him. He kept coming up over and over again.
He's hugely influential in sci-fi and horror. And that's kind of what I mean about those cheesy comics, too. Like, those things are hugely influential. They're not great in and of themselves, but they are combined and refined and transformed into something greater. And that's sort of what Lovecraft did. But boy, is Lovecraft, he's complicated, man. I don't know what to say. I'm guessing probably the cheesy horror comics I like aren't for you, though. Or maybe they are because they have pictures.
Fuck you. Yeah, we've already established I hate books. Books are the worst thing ever.
So I read another...
Yeah, this definitely turned into also kind of like an unofficial look back of season one itself.
Yeah, it did, kind of.
You're taking content away from the season one wrap-up, Ben.
I'm making the season one wrap-up a reasonable length. Because we could still... Okay, we're talking about the books themselves. We haven't talked anything about producing this show, which is a different can of worms entirely. Did you read anything between Sorcery and Lovecraft?
So, I'll say, I've read probably three, maybe four books, but I don't want to discuss them here because I'm going to discuss them later.
Oh, that's fair. Yes, yes.
And one of them is coming up in like 3 weeks, and I have one saved for the end of the year, and I have one for next year. So that's why I'm not going to discuss them. I've read other books outside of the podcast, but I'm going to discuss them on the podcast eventually anyway.
Can I tell you what was weird, though, about reading Lovecraft in... Because as I said, this was the summer. This was like the end of August. We were finishing up Lovecraft.
Good God. Was that actually August? I feel like that was July, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, okay, even earlier. So I read all of the Lovecraft stuff in July. I can't wait to tell you what I was reading in October.
Trump. Takedown books.
And I was also listening to another audiobook, Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life is a Ramone by Marky Ramone. Do you know who the Ramones are?
I know that they exist, and I know that you liked them.
Can you name one Ramone song?
Yeah, obviously. But I want to hear you.
You want to make sure I know.
Yeah, I want to make sure you're in the know. I'm pretty sure they did. I was going to make some joke like Africa or something, but that's just, yeah, it's too easy.
I can't believe you don't know the Ramones.
Here, let me...
This is like, I mean, I guess it's not as bad as like not knowing the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, but it's...
KKK Took My Baby Away.
That is one of their hits, yes.
Yeah, I don't recognize any
Blitzkrieg
of these.
Bop?
Nope.
Rock and Roll High School?
Nope. what was their genre? Punk rock?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
What's your genre?
Do I have a genre, Ben?
I don't know. I'm not,
like, I feel like I don't.
This is a free-flowing episode. What's your favorite genre of music?
Oh God. Oh, geez. Yeah, I don't know.
What's your favorite band or group?
Do I even have a favorite band or group? I feel like I don't.
When do you ever listen to music?
I do.
Okay.
But I don't even know who, like, shit that I just hear. I don't even know who does the music, Ben.
What do you listen to?
A lot of it doesn't have lyrics, so I guess it's, what, electronica or techno or something?
Okay, where do you listen to music? Like, what program or app do you use?
Spotify and or YouTube.
So what, when you go to Spotify, like what playlist?
Ninja Sex Party is one of the bands I listen to the most on Spotify.
Random. Okay. So when you go to YouTube, do you just like chill lo-fi beats to study and relax to?
Chip tunes or something like that.
Okay. Okay, we're getting there now. Yeah, chip tune's a thing, like chip tune, Nintendo Core. You'd probably like... I'll send you... Well, you know what? We should make a playlist to accompany this episode.
Oh, Jesus.
I read Axiom's End by Lindsay Ellis, which was a rare book I had pre-ordered. I'm not often, like, aware of books that early, but I just happen to be because Lindsay Ellis is a pretty well-known video essayist and YouTuber. I think we might talk about it on the podcast.
That sounds fair to say.
You're hesitating. Why are you hesitating?
No reason.
So this is another thing the listeners don't know about us, is that you do these things, like, where you make something, like, way, like, needlessly more mysterious.
Coming up at the end of the year, we've got Nate's special episode for Ben.
Okay, listeners, this is something we're going to talk about on this episode, because we're freewheeling. This is you get to see behind the scenes. Nate loves not telling me what we're about to do, and he loves doing things, but he also one time just kept asking me about music, which, as we've established,
we haven't finished that bracket, actually.
No, we haven't, and I'm happy to finish it for you. But he wanted me to do this thing, this bracket tournament of band, like one hit wonders, where I chose which one hit wonder was better. And he organized a whole bracket, and it was a whole thing, and he's like keeping track of it and collecting data. And as we've established, he doesn't know what bands are. He doesn't listen to music with words. So why would he want to know this, right? So I just ask him, okay, why would you want to do this? He's like, oh, no reason. I'm like, that doesn't make sense, though, because you don't care about music. Like, you're not interested in music. And he's like, I just want to know what you think. I'm like, but why, though? I don't know. Just answer. It's like, I don't know if he's selling my data to Mark Zuckerberg for kickbacks. I don't know what this is. Like... But I don't think there is actually anything. I think he's just making it needlessly mysterious.
Yeah, let's change that bracket. That's it's going to be good.
After that, we get into the modern era, my hellish October. And I think this is actually where I started to burn out. This might be where the origins of our freewheeling episode started.
Because you read Trump on Trump on Trump on Trump on Trump, and then you had to also experience the election, and then you're like, I'm done. I'm done with life. We're done.
Here has been the last 70 days of my life. I read Too Much and Never Enough by Mary Trump, Rage by Bob Woodward, The Room Where It Happened by John Bolton. And then... I had to synthesize that into an episode, and then 2 days after releasing the episode, I had to experience the election, and I'm still experiencing the election. We're all still experiencing the election, and God damn it, by the time this episode comes out, I wager we may still be experiencing the election.
The election that just keeps on giving.
I am so burnt. This one got me. Doing weekly episodes combined with having to read 3 books in a month, which was my fault. I should have read one of these earlier, but the one thing I've noticed...
I'm willing to blame you as well.
Well, the one thing I noticed is that in this reading and like having time limits, this is the first time in my life, like since college, I've had to read... so many books in a short period of time, and I needed like a palate cleanser, but I just didn't have time. In the past, like I've been able to read things like Duke LaGrange and Marked, because I could like always, I had enough time to get in a palate cleansing book before we moved on to the next one. And usually we've planned that for ourselves as well. Like Agatha Christie after Marked was a good pick.
Because, you're welcome.
Yeah. No, I mean,
for
it
both
really
of those, actually.
Yeah. But like, it's fun to read a bad book sometimes, but like Marked was actually fun. I did have fun reading Marked.
So you're saying you read like 4 Trump books and also Duke LaGrange just like in a row.
Not quite in a row, but yeah, I read Duke LaGrange, man. Axiom's End, and then 3 Trump books.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Yeah. No, and it got to the point where, like, the next book I was supposed to read for the podcast was Haroon and the Sea of Stories, which I am currently finishing up now, and I couldn't bring myself to start it. I was just like, I don't know if I want to do a book podcast anymore. That one hurt
me. You're in an ironclad contract, so.
Yeah.
You're stuck.
I did read a palate cleanser. I went back to my go-to, my safe space, my rock horror, and I read Mexican Gothic by Silvia Moreno Garcia. This is also kind of a interesting year for me because usually I'm like 2 to 3 years behind the current releases of like what's big in fiction right now. And this year I actually read Axiom's End in Mexican Gothic, which came out this year, both of which I had, I pre-ordered Axiom's End. I just went out and bought Mexican Gothic the week it was released. But both of those I was like right on top of, and I really enjoyed them. And I would recommend, they're going around, I know Goodreads is doing its Goodreads Choice Awards. I'm not sure if they still will be by the time the episode comes out, but I'd recommend these. I think Mexican Gothic is one of the more refreshing horror books I've read in, I'm going to say, a couple of years. It's not by Stephen King, which is refreshing by itself. And Silvia Moreno Garcia has other books. I just haven't read them. So they may be good as well. I'm going to probably check out some of her other stuff. But then, yeah, I think that plus Haroon and the Sea of Stories, maybe another Dune book is going to be my year of reading. I've also read numerous short stories. I used to read a ton of short fiction, and mostly because that's what we wrote before we started doing the podcast. We primarily focused on trying to work on Eden and stuff, and I kind of fell out of that as we started prepping for the podcast. I got into more novels, but I went back and I started reading short stories again. And if you're interested in any of that, again, most of it's horror because that's what I like. I'm going to try to branch out. I just, I need a couple of good collections. If anybody's interested in suggesting something to me, I'm open to literally any genre. I'm most familiar with horror, so that's what I happen to have on my shelves.
Erotica.
I'll
send
do it.
This man some erotica.
You tweet me, I will do it. Tweet me at WABpod. Any short fiction collection you want, I promise I will read at least one story. If you got a story recommendation, I'll do it. If you want me to read your short story on the podcast, I will do it. No, I would love to, actually.
You opened up a can of worms here.
Hey, I would love to. But what I was going to say is I've actually been doing short story reviews on the blog, if anybody's interested. That's blog.wordsaboutbooks.ninja. And I'm going to try to do more of that because I do want to do more to shine a spotlight on short stories. I know short stories tend to appear in magazines or anthologies, and then they kind of go away. It's hard to unless the author gets famous enough that they publish a volume of all their own short stories. I think they could do with a little bit more attention, and not that we have a huge platform, but I think if you like novels, there's definitely a lot of good stuff out there in short fiction. Oh, Nate, do you have anything else you want to say? This is probably the best episode we're going to get to just bullshit for a while.
Yeah, I do have something I want to say, Ben.
Good.
And that is that I'm sure we're going to be doing another one of these next year. We might even do two of them next year. And my goal is to read enough outside of the podcast that I get to drone on at you about everything I read outside of the podcast. This is a competition now, Ben.
Oh, okay. I wasn't trying to drone on at you. I was trying to engage you.
It doesn't matter, because I'm going to drone on at you.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna talk for 10 minutes about a book that you know nothing about. Actually, coming up, I'm gonna be talking for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna say you do that a lot, actually.
Now that I think about it.
No, I'm kind of interested because I wonder if anybody follows along with us, if anybody is participating in the book club, we do,
which you should be doing.
You should. Some months are probably more rewarding than others. As I look at Marked, Duke LaGrange.
Marked was a very rewarding
For us.
Episode. For us, yes. Yeah. I had a lot of fun talking about it.
Yeah. No, but so we're going to continue to do 12 books a year for the book club. So one each month. But I'd be interested to know, I think I'm actually probably going to be upping my reading goal for 2020.
What's your reading goal?
My reading goal, or for 2021, I'm sorry. My reading goal for 2020 was 24 books.
Okay.
So I've done the Goodreads challenge for 3 years now. And my goal has always been 24 books. And I think, let me look back through the records here.
That's probably going to be my goal for this coming year.
Yeah, and I met my goal. I've actually done this for 4 years now. Yeah, 4 years now. So 2018 was the only the first book I see in 2018 is Fire and Fury.
God damn.
Yeah, 2018 is the only year I didn't get 24 books because I moved that year and I just like lost 2 months. But yeah, I think I would like to maybe up this to like 30 books.
Damn.
I'll see.
I'm shooting for 24, but if it looks like you're going to beat me towards the end of the year, I'm going to try and up it real quick and try and destroy you.
If our readers would like to participate as well, I'm really interested in that. If you can join the Words About Books podcast group on Goodreads. You just search for it in the groups tab and you will probably find it. Or you can follow us individually. I'm pretty easy to find on Goodreads. I'm Ben, who is in the Words About Books podcast group. Nate is equally easy to find. If you want to follow us, we'll give you a follow back. We're pretty good about that. And yeah, I'd love to see what everybody's reading. Like, I like to do the book club, and I can understand because we do read some like jokey books that you might not want to follow along with the book club entirely. But
what
if you haven't done a Goodreads challenge before? I'd recommend trying it. I found it motivating to read more. Even as I do this podcast, which is another motivator to read, I still have kept up with my Goodreads challenge. It gamifies the process a little bit. You get a little hit of dopamine whenever you see that it's finished. But yeah, I'd love to, let's get in the Goodreads group and let's talk about what people are reading. If you have recommendations for what we should read or something you'd like to see in the book club.
Yeah. My wife and my friend, Josh, they've been throwing recommendations.
I've been getting a few. I know I have a big demand for further Hercule Poirot books.
Yeah.
I've heard from a few people that we should read a few different things, but yeah, we're open to suggestions. Like really, we'll talk about this more on the wrap up episode, but we don't have 2021 mapped out quite the way we had 2020 mapped out. So there is room to convince us to read something.
All right. Is there anything else? I feel like we need to wrap up, and also I need to eat dinner. So.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. My life is hard. Okay.
Just do what I do and eat while the other person's talking.
You son of a bitch.
All right. Yeah, we're going to wrap this up. So, hey, I think we already talked about all the ways to contact us. I won't go through it again. But I will say, if you're starving for podcast content and you would like more of the Words About variety, check out our sister podcast, Words About Games. They are two developers and two fathers who talk about video games, and they evaluate the latest and greatest to determine if it is worth your valuable time. It is a gaming podcast for the modern adult. So please check them out.
And next month, we're reading Haroon and the Sea of Stories. If you want to get in on that. It's a light, easy read. You can start right now and be done by then without any real, like, effort or difficulty. Good night, everybody.
Night. Oh, we have intro and outro music now. Did you notice? Yeah, this is that's going to be important to this episode.
I thought so too.
Yeah, we're going to need to know if BTK is dead.
It doesn't look like he has a time day of death, so I think he's still alive.
Is he on death row?
No, because I think that was overturned. I think he killed during a time where the death penalty wasn't around or something like that.
Huh.
Kansas had no death penalty at the time of the murders, yeah?
Really? I'm proud of you guys?
And then the death penalty was reinstated later on.
That sounds right, yeah.
I don't think we have one now,